This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. My name is Jennifer, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek inside the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. And now please welcome to the show my podcast partner, Galactic Space Geek Jeff Gagne.
Hello, Jennifer. It is time for another exciting episode, and once again, I am super excited. But once again, we are going to have to bring Galactic Space Geek Jeff back down to Earth because the science is happening down here. Today, we are going to be talking about something that's right in my heart, 3D printing.
How do 3D printers make implants?
But in a way that I've never even heard of before.
Oh, all right. Well, let's find out what question we are solving today. Ooh, how do 3D printers make implants? This is going to be such cool technology. Who's our guest today, Jeff?
So our guest today to tell us all about the cutting edge of what's happening is Senior Research Associate at the University of Anglia in Norwich, England, is Dr. Noelia Dominguez.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Noelia.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is going to be so cool. So let's start at the beginning. What do you do as a scientist, and how do you work with implants?
Well, that's a really good question, Jen. Again, thank you so much both for this opportunity here. So let's see. I think if I start in the beginning, we know in our body we are formed by many bones, right?
Yep.
And
yes.
We also have many muscles that we should all yes. train at least once a week.
Get out and get fit.
I'm a little behind.
Yes.
At least once a week, we should train them, right? So now we have bones, we have muscles, but there is tissue, there is a thing that is in between our muscles and bones that is called tendons. It's like a connection that allows us to move. We can play tennis, we can jump, we can run. This is because we have tendons that they connect our muscles and our bones together. So it's basically like a support. And it allows us to move, to jump. That's why they are so strong, and that's the main characteristic of them. But as everything in our lives, they can break. If, for example, we fall, let's say that you are playing football with your friends and then you fall down and then you notice a bit of a pain in your ankle, most likely, if you don't have your bones broken, which I hope not, that will mean that your tendons have been damaged. Now, you can have small damage, which means that you will just do some exercises and that will be it. You can continue with your life. But let's say that you have done something really bad that you really need to go to the doctor.
Ouch.
I don't want that for anyone because it really hurts a lot. So if that happens, and let's say that your tendons break, tendons are really strong, like I said, but they need to be healed properly.
Oh.
And unfortunately, if you break them, there's going to be a doctor that is going to make surgery on you, basically to try to stitch together the two pieces that have been broken. Now, this might sound like a cool solution in terms of, well, I will get surgery, everything will be fine after that, but that's not the case because tendons, they are really weak when they get broken. So they need a lot of love healed. And usually, if, for example, let's say we are talking about a football player, that football player is going to be really anxious to go back to play, right? Because
yes.
it's their job.
Sure. Yeah.
So after the surgery, if that football player goes back to their job and to their original life, it's likely going to put a lot of pressure on that tissue that is really trying to heal. So that's where my science comes in.
Okay.
So the question is, how can I help, or how can we help in our lab to these people that they have gone through surgery and then they don't feel that they can go back to their original lifestyle? The thing we do is 3D printing, like Jeff said. So 3D printing is like, let's say that you are trying to have like a blank canvas in front of you, right? You have a lot of colors, you have a lot of options, and you can paint whatever you want. So that's 3D printing for us. We can create them any material that we want, whether if it's really soft or really stiff. So this is really good because tendons are really strong, like I said, but they are flexible. That's how I can move my shoulder or I can move my leg because it's not completely rigid.
Right.
With 3D printing, that's what we do. We can create the material that we want and in the shape that we want. So I can adapt it to, let's say you break your tendons in your shoulder, that's not going to be the same as the tendons in your ankle, for example.
Oh.
Right.
So we create the material, we create the shape, and we create like pieces of plastic that can go into the gap that you have because you broke two pieces of tissue. So that can be there and it can help you to heal faster and better than with the traditional surgery. This is a very long answer. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Quite all right. It was a very understandable answer.
Yeah.
And I know our listeners can't see it, but I'm watching you just with my mouth wide open because all I'm picturing as a guy who uses a very standard PLA ABS plastic 3D printers.
Nice.
I'm envisioning a piece of plastic getting inserted into a tendon inside somebody to help them get fixed.
Yeah.
Am I picturing that correctly?
It is, yeah. Also, I know the printers that you use, the ABS ones. I know the ones that you use.
Yes.
The good thing about the ones that we use is that we can create biocompatible materials. This means that when this gets put into a person, there's not going to be any rejection or any allergic reaction from the person. Part of that reason is because we add cells. I don't know if you have discussed cells in your podcast before.
No, well, not probably not. So give them a little background if you can of that.
Yeah, so cells are everywhere in your body. Your skin is all made of cells, like millions of cells together. Your heart is made of cells. Your lungs are made of cells as well. And there is a particular type of cells in the human body that they are called stem cells.
Right.
The reason why they are called stem cells is because they give rise to many different type of cells in the body. So they are also like a blank canvas. They can be whatever you want them to be. And the cool thing about stem cells is that they help other cells to regenerate.
Oh,
so once we have our pieces of plastic made with the 3D printing, we add stem cells because that's going to help your cells in your tendons to heal better.
So do you add the stem cells to the outside of the plastic that you've created? So so then the tissue grows around the piece of plastic?
Yeah, so it can grow on the top as well because we will put the cells facing your tissue, if that makes sense. So they will be in contact with your own cells. And we can extract the stem cells from you. We don't have to extract them from someone else, obviously, because that would be bad for everyone.
Right. Yeah.
So we can extract them from your own body. And then we literally put them on the top of the plastic. So that becomes like a boat.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
But they can go into your body with the stem cells on the top attached to the plastic. And all of that together will help your tissue to grow faster and better and stronger.
So, okay. So here's what I'm imagining in my head. So see if this makes sense. So, so what you're creating is something sort of like, imagine like a plastic straw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then maybe the stem cells would be, what if you like coated it in chocolate? Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and then that kind of thing. Now, again, this is not replacing the whole tendon. Right?
No.
It's just taking one broken part and attaching it to the other broken part. So the vast majority, hopefully, is your tendon. So it can still stretch kind of like a rubber band thing.
Yes. So your tissue will grow on the implants that we put on you. And we can also use degradable materials, which means that your body is going to break them down with time. So your tissue eventually is going to replace the plastic that we put on you.
Oh my gosh.
That's so cool.
It is real, I swear.
So I know just before we started recording, you made mention that this sounds like science fiction, but it's not. And as soon as you said that, what I'm picturing is, I know that the medical field obviously has dissolvable sutures that they use inside the body. And I'm imagining that this is an advancement on that technique.
It is, We can also use materials that they do not degrade. For example, if you have a really serious injury and you need something to stick in your body for ages, we can also put materials that your body doesn't break, but they are not harmful to you. But yes, degradable sutures are used in surgery, so you don't need to go back to the surgery room to remove those stitches because it's painful for everyone, really. So this is kind of the same principle.
I mean, this is so neat. All right, so here's my question. This is what always makes me curious.
Okay.
How did you come up with this idea, right? Like, like who starts to figure out, hey, a tendon's breaking, and then how we fix it? That's what I think humans and scientists and engineers are so cool. So can you tell us a little bit about how this idea kind of, where it came from?
Yes. So here I have to give the credit to my supervisor, Dr. Aram Saeed. We work in, obviously, in the same department in the UEA in Norwich. I was already working with him in another project as a technician before starting my PhD and eventually become a doctor. And he is a visionary with ideas. Like he knows about clinical problems, and he is super good in detecting where is the problem and where is the faster course of action. Faster, medicine is not fast, but what I'm trying to say is that let's come up with an idea that it's reliable and everyone can do it and all the scientific community can help with this idea that we had. So we also work with other clinicians and tendon biologists that they help us as well to understand, look, these are the needs from tendon. This is why it doesn't work. This is why surgery is not right. This is why we need something different. And tissue engineering has been around for ages. So scientists and clinicians, they are using it more nowadays. So, yeah, my boss had a project in tendons, and then he come up with the idea of 3D printing because, like I said, we can create the material that we want and in the shape that we want, and only 3D printing can give you that, really. So it was the best option for us to solve that. And although my doctoral thesis was on that, and we are still, you know, my thesis is not the next cure for tendon.
You never know, right?
I never know. I did my thing for 4 years, so I have some results to show. But, you know, it's the earliest steps that we can then publish papers and then share with the scientific community. Right. He has, I don't know, maybe like 100 ideas per minute. It's unbelievable. It's just ideas, and I am a very square-shaped person, so I'm like, okay, first this one.
I am happy to help you be a problem solver because we love that on Solve It for Kids.
Yes.
But we got to do one at a time.
Yes, please. First one and then the next one.
Well, this is absolutely a leap forward in my knowledge of 3D printing and what is capable. I teach classes in a space museum about basic 3D printing with plastic and PLAs and ABSs. And in our slideshow, when we teach the class about how 3D printing came about and how far it's come, we will typically show like a picture of a 3D printed ear that can be replaced on someone. But I had not heard of this work of using 3D printed parts to repair the insides of people.
Yes, this is
fascinating. And it sounds like there's more to come. So are you and your boss even working on more ideas for what this may grow into? No pun intended on growing.
Yes, we have many ideas because 3D printing is like really cool. Like you can do anything that you want, any shape, any material that you want, degradable, non-degradable. We also use injectable systems. So it's something that it will fit in a syringe and that will be injected on you. That's not 3D printing. That's something completely different. But let's say that you don't need surgery. You have damaged your tendons, but it's not as bad as going to surgery.
Right.
Okay.
So you can create solutions of materials and cells in like hydrogel structure.
Right.
That will be injected on you. Let's say, I feel pain on my shoulder. So your doctors will scan, will see where is the actual damage, and then we can inject it there on you. So that's not 3D printing, but that's also tissue engineering because we can create the solution, modify the cells. We can do a lot of things. So this field, I'm a biologist in my degree and I have a master's in pharmacology. So I only came across tissue engineering when I met my boss. And now I know that I'm not going to leave the field because it's fascinating to me, the amount of things that you can do and how we can study both the chemistry but also the biology. You know, everything merges together. And
right.
It's just, it's fascinating to me. So many things to come.
Oh my gosh. I'm not of the age yet. Jen, I don't think you are either, that we're in surgery once a year on repairing something. But it seems like my dad is 80. So it seems like the older generation has made the comment that there's one of two solutions in the medical world. You're either going to get pills or you're going to have surgery to get things fixed.
Yeah.
And what you were just describing, just injecting the appropriate cells and what you need to help repair a not as major damage, sounds like a step that's in between just getting a pill to take and having to go all the way to surgery. That sounds awesome.
It's funny as well that you mentioned that because when you have a tendon injury, regardless of if it's broken or if it's not broken, the first thing that doctors are going to give you is anti-inflammatory medications.
Yep.
And that might work on some, but that might not work on some because tendons, they heal in 3 different steps, which I'm not going to get into them because it's a lot of scientific concept, but they heal in 3 stages. So there is a stage of the tendon healing that you do need a lot of anti-inflammatory medications because your inflammatory response is just bursting.
Right.
But let's say that you are playing with your friends at football, for example, or basketball, you hurt your tendons, and then I'm all right. I'm not gonna go to the doctor. I'm fine. I don't need anything.
Right.
Sounds like a kid.
Yeah, let's say that you go to the doctor, 6 months later, this is still hurting, and your mom is like, all right, we need to go to the doctor. Let's put an endpoint on this. It's most likely that in that stage that you go to the doctor, let's say after 6 months that you fall down, you don't need anti-inflammatory medications anymore because your tendons are already healing in another stage, and you need something that is going to be more proliferative, if that makes sense, or something that makes your cells grow.
Right.
Most likely they will put medications on you because that's what it's done.
That's the protocol. Yep.
Yeah, it's
the protocol.
One size fits all treatments. And it's funny that you mentioned the medications because that's something that we are also trying to avoid. I'm not saying that medications are bad because I'm not a doctor whatsoever or a surgeon, but maybe there is a step in the middle that we need to take care about before, you know, administering all these medications and all these protocols that they don't work for everyone.
Well, and also they can cause other side effects. So, you know, maybe you're a person who can't take these pills or, you know, sometimes surgery has a bunch of other side effects that people don't realize. But
exactly.
I want to go back to, you know, talk to Jeff. So this is what we like to talk about on our show, right? How she came in as one type of scientist, and then you see and you learn something that you like. We hear this so much from a lot of our guests, and we think this is really cool, and that kids of all ages should understand that you're not locked into whatever you choose in college. You can get out and all of a sudden change, you know, you might have a degree in biology or whatever, pharmacology, and all of a sudden you're kind of doing engineering type things, right?
Yes.
Tissue engineering, right? Which I had never heard that phrase before.
I mean, sometimes you create your own jobs, right? You're now a tissue engineer.
And this sounds, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I've never been a medical guy, never wanted to do that kind of stuff. But if you attach it to 3D printing and... Not just that, it makes it interesting, but it sounds like the work that you're doing day by day is literally on the cutting edge of you are inventing a new way to heal people better than we have right now.
Like, yes,
that is literally solving it for all of us.
Yes, it's you know, that's one of the things why I love science and my job. Not only, like Jen said, you don't have to restrict yourself to just do what you study in college or even what you do in your undergrad. That was not my case at all. My bachelor's degree was in marine science. It has nothing to do with what I do now. But at that point, I felt it was an amazing decision to do marine science. And don't get me wrong, I loved my degree. But I knew that that was not my purpose. So now that I have found my purpose, I just, like, science is amazing and every day is different. You know, you can do so many things, and that's why I love tissue engineering. And that's what I was missing from my marine science degree. I love to help people and improve therapies and make people's lifestyle much better, because we are all human. We break apart many times, right? It's part of the deal.
Unfortunately, yes.
It's part of the deal. But as scientists, I know that I am in my lab, and maybe I am exaggerating too much because I am a really passionate, I'm also Spanish, so we carry the eager. So it's like I'm in my lab, I'm doing my experiments, but just thinking that one day my research might be used to improve the lifestyle from patients, that's
right.
What I need to know.
That's what it's all about. So I do have to ask. So is your technology available now, or are you still in the research process? Because I know it can take years to be able to use this inside a human body and all that kind of stuff.
Some of stuff are available to put in humans, and there are some clinical trials, especially with the stem cells that I was mentioning. Mm-hmm. There are actually FDA approved stem cells implantations in humans. So it is possible, and it's been done. A lot of research in veterinary field as well. 3D printing, I think we are still a bit far because there is so many things to take care about in terms of safety and regulations and everything. But we are doing the right steps to go into that direction.
Yeah. No, and I know my husband works in a medical device field, so I understand that it can take years, but I also know that the germ of an amazing idea, something like this, can make such a huge impact on lifestyle, as you said, down the road. I mean, you know, my husband actually injured his shoulder a few years ago when we were walking the dog, right?
Oh no.
And it still bothers him on occasion, right?
Yes,
so now I'm thinking, oh, it's tendon problems. But you know, but it's awesome to think about this, because again, it's what you're doing in some ways is on a smaller scale, right? Like you're not curing cancer, but you're helping a person get the lifestyle back that they might miss. And to me, that is huge.
And quicker.
Yeah, more quickly.
That's why I love my job as well, you know, because like I said before, my thesis is not the next cure for tendons, because it's not, but once we publish findings, that might be, you know, be an inspiration from someone else that can improve my implants or use another type of stem cells that works even better. And that's how in science we help each other, right? It's not about I'm gonna solve this tomorrow. It's about, you know, because that's not how it works.
It would be nice if it were that, but it's not that.
We will have less problems for sure, but that's not how it works. So that's the thing, you know, and that's why I love science, and I encourage youngsters and kids to go into science. It's the best job in the world. Every day is different. And in the long term, you help so many people that you were not expecting when you started on science, right? So, yeah, I mean, I love my job so much.
Well, I think that's a nice segue right there for, since you love your job so much, at the end of each interview, this has been so much fun, and so I've learned a ton, which now I need to go do a whole bunch of homework so I can really blow the minds of my 3D printing students on what is coming as they learn it and grow into jobs that use more 3D printing like yours is. But do you have a challenge for our listener, something that they can do that would get them a little bit involved in your world?
I think so. Like, I think I started my interview with you guys saying this. Everyone knows about bones. I think everyone at some point in our lifetimes, we break a bone, unfortunately. Sooner or later, that's going to happen.
I did mine at the age of 51. Thank you very much.
Sometimes it's going to happen, right? So everyone has heard about bones. Everyone has heard about muscles that we train in the gym, blah, blah, blah. Right. I mean, not everyone, but, well, people train, right, in the,
yes,
in the gym.
Yes, we should.
So we should, yes. But not everyone knows about tendons. So the challenge that I have for your listeners today is that if they can sit on the floor with the legs straight and then they can flex their toes and their feet, like up and down, maybe like one time per second, flex, unflex, flex, unflex. That happens because of the flexor tendons that are in your feet. That's why you can do that.
But that also works for your arms, right?
It
so
does,
is that why you can bend at the elbows and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, yes. It does.
Yeah, okay.
That's my challenge for them to try.
I love that. And I'm with you because I think I'm with you. I didn't learn much about tendons and ligaments and all that kind of stuff when I was a kid. Everybody knows muscles and of course bones.
So
we challenge each and every one of you guys to go out and do that and also maybe stretch at the same time, right? I assume stretching helps with your tendons that might get tighter.
Really, really important.
Well, this has been fabulous. Thank you so much for being on our Solve It for Kids, Dr. Noelia. I learned so much today.
Oh, I'm so happy. And I'm so thankful that you guys invited me today. I love the idea when I saw it on Twitter and I was like, I need to participate in this. I really want to meet these guys. I cannot. I need to talk to them. So I'm so thankful, really.
We are so thankful you reached out. And my next dozen classes worth of 3D printing students have a whole new version of inspiration coming
homework.
Because I have a whole new set of information to give them literally the cutting edge of 3D printing and where they can take it to follow in your footsteps.
Yes.
This is
awesome.
Super cool.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I'm so thankful that you guys learned and then be inspired about the science that we do, because that's what it's about, right? Science is about inspiration between us, but also to people that they don't know about our work. I don't want science to be inaccessible to anyone. So if I can contribute to that, then my job is done.
Awesome. All right.
That's
well, thank
wonderful.
You, Dr. Noelia.
Well,
thank you.
For today, your work is done, Dr. Noelia. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank you.
Wasn't that a fantastic show, Jennifer? I do 3D printing, and I kind of thought I knew a lot of what was going on out there. I just learned a whole bunch of new stuff from Dr. Noelia.
I mean, I think this is just amazing, right? Like, this is why science and engineering is so cool. You see a problem, and then you just create something to fix it. How awesome is that?
Talk about Solve It for Everyone, not just kids. They are solving a problem that the medical industry didn't even know they had. That tendons are not very repairable with surgery. And all of a sudden, here comes this tissue engineer with her 3D printer, and they are coming up with a whole new solution.
I mean, I think the field of medicine and everything is so wide open now that we have such amazing technology like 3D printing and stem cells that you can use to regenerate things in the body. I mean, it's amazing. Well, everybody, if you want to learn more about this, make sure you check out our website page for this, which is at solveitforkids.com. And I want you to do your challenge that Dr. Noelle had you do and do your stretches. I know I'm going to do my stretches. And then you can find us on our Twitter and Instagram, which is at KidSolve, and also our Facebook page, which is also at KidSolve.
And we also wanted to mention to everybody out there, Dr. Noelia actually found us on Twitter and listened to some of the podcasts, and she turns out she loves us. She's now a fan. So she reached out and asked if she could be on the show to tell us about her job and what she does. So all of you scientists, engineers, and experts out there, you can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at KidSolve. Please reach out. We would love to highlight you. There are so many different careers out there in science, engineering, and all sorts of work that not everybody knows about. We would love to share them on our podcast,
Solve It for Kids.